This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Welcome back into Sports Talk here on Valentine's Day. Happy Heart Day to everybody out there. Want to get you up to speed here. I misspoke saying that LSU baseball will be on WWL AM and FM tomorrow. Actually, tomorrow morning, 11 a.m., that game's been moved to due to the threat of weather, and that's going to be on the Bet 92.9 FM and 1350 AM, as well as the Odyssey app. Sunday's game, it'll be on WWL 105.3 and 870 AM. That's a pregame of 12:30 with a first pitch of 1 o'clock. Meanwhile, tomorrow, though, we do have LSU basketball on WWLAMFM.com and the Odyssey app. That is pregame 4:30, a tip-off of 5 o'clock. The Tigers are at Oklahoma, and oof, it has been a rough go this season for the men's basketball team. But looking at the LSU baseball team opening day coming away with a big 14-0 victory over Purdue Fort Wayne. The Tigers had 14 runs on 14 hits and one error. Purdue Fort Wayne ended up with no runs, four hits, three errors on the day. Cade Anderson goes five innings, gives up four hits, struck out eight, walked one, faced 20 batters in that. You also had Cezanne Evans, Jacob Myers, and Cooper Williams pitching in that matchup. For the Tigers' battery, what a debut for Daniel Dickinson. He goes 3-for-5 with 3-for-4 with 5 RBI, struck out once, and like I said, a pretty good debut for the transfer, taking it in at second base over there. You also had Jared Jones going 1-for-2 with 2 ribbies, and John Peterson had a hit with an RBI. Nobody hit a home run in the game, which is surprising when you see a 14-0 onslaught that the Tigers put up.
Yeah, no, I mean, this time of year, it's kind of like, all right, who's got offense? You know, who are the new pitchers? You know, who's gonna step up? But I don't know. I always have a hard time. It takes me a couple weeks to really get into college baseball season.
Sure, it's like preseason almost for them right now, yeah. Because you're not even – we got a while to get into the SEC
play. If they didn't win this game by 2 touchdowns, I'd be concerned, right?
We got some callers on our Oakland Heart Jewelers talk and text line. You can sound off 2-504-260-1870. We're going to hit up Carl and Hammond wanting to talk about the NFL and the Saints. What you got, Carl? How's it going?
Oh, pretty good. And you?
Doing great today.
That's good. I want to just ask you guys your insight. Is clout or status anything that affects with coaches? Like when you look at New Orleans, like recently, Chris Olave got knocked out, you know, for the rest of the season. Trevor Lawrence got knocked out, and there was a big outrage. No outrage for Olave, but I can understand him being from California and Ohio State. Maybe people sort of threw that. But when you look at the NOLA no call, I mean, that's not going to happen to Tom Brady. That's not going to happen to Bill Belichick. And what's most outrageous is never in the history of football has, I don't think, you guys may know, a head coach Hall of Fame, Super Bowl winning coach been suspended for a whole season. And, I mean, the bounty gate was just a fluke. I mean,
right.
I'm sure Bobby Hebert would tell you that people have been headhunting in the earth since leather helmets. And I never saw really the Saints be vicious all the years I've followed them. I've never really seen them be nasty. I've seen other people be nasty. I've seen people hurt people seem intentionally. So,
they,
I mean.
That defense like, with Greg Williams was definitely aggressive. I don't know about sure. the headhunting.
So what's the question, I guess, just to be clear?
Do y'all think there's a level of difference, like, with different organizations, like, on their status, their clout? Like, I'm saying, Bill, okay, like, people said that New England got a lot of calls, got a lot of respect, you know. Now they say it's Patrick Mahomes, you know. So I was wondering if a coach feels, should I go to this organization? Because if I'm in a big game and I'm not going to get the call to maybe affect me getting a Super Bowl, do I really want to be with a team that doesn't really have the push or the clout to get ahead in some areas?
You know, I don't think that's necessarily true in the NFL. Maybe it is in some other sports, just because there's so many things that have to go a certain way in the NFL, right? Like it really comes down to, okay, market size, which, you know, I think there's other examples of, like, yeah, the Giants could be the worst team in the NFL. They have been over and over again. They still get all these primetime games. Cowboys, same way. So you're going to see a lot more attention paid to teams like that than the Saints. So when the Saints are bad, they just kind of disappear into the ether because of this tiny little market. And
give us all those noon kickoffs.
Right. You get noon. Oh, well, we'll throw you on a Monday night game just to, so you can have a good time with the big boys. But otherwise, we're going to ignore you until you're good again. And that's kind of what Sean Payton and Drew Brees did was so important, in that it put the Saints on the map. Obviously, they didn't put the Saints on the map, right? Like, they've been in the playoffs before. They've had really good teams before. The Dome Patrol is one of the best defenses in NFL history, but
not postseason success.
It forced people to pay attention in a way that has not been the case before. That's what happens when you win a Super Bowl. It's what happens when you do that. I mean, people have been talking about the officiating since the beginning of time. It's never going to not be a thing. Trevor Lawrence is a quarterback, and star quarterbacks get the attention, whether it's Tom Brady, whether it's Pat Mahomes. When you have a quarterback sliding and getting knocked out, they all talk about player safety, whatever. I mean, to be fair, Tom Brady had his share of witch hunts too, right? Like the Deflategate stuff. Like,
sure.
The Patriots, I mean, they got Spygate. Like, there's a bunch of gates, and you know, you're talking about the Patriots. Two of those gates relative to the Patriots. One of them is relative to the Saints. So I don't know if this. I think there are probably better examples than the Patriots, because I think the Patriots would tell you that the NFL is coming after them in some pretty sketchy situations as well. Eric Mangini's like being a narc, like, they're recording our practices, and I think they lost the first round pick. They lost the draft pick in that exchange. I think both right. of those. They didn't suspend Bill Belichick the way they suspended Sean Payton, but I think if you go back and look at the reality around Bountygate and all of that, a big part of it was, you know, not playing ball with the NFL in terms of their investigation. And that was the same case with the Patriots, where Tom Brady's destroying his phone because he doesn't want to hand it over. And that's where you'll end up getting those excessive punishments. And, you know, they really went overboard on the Saints for reasons that I think have been explained, you know, in kind of the offing of, hey, well, what has happened in the interim? But I don't know. I don't think that affects a head coach in terms of, like, oh, I won't get the call in the big game. I think when you're talking about a small market that's struggling, yeah, you're going to have a hard time pulling coaches, right? When you're talking about a team that's $50 million over the salary cap, and you want to explain to someone, well, it's not as bad as it looks, we can figure it out. Some coaches will be like, all right, I buy it. Kellen Moore clearly feels that way. Other coaches will be like, it's just not something I want to deal with, and you're going to move on.
Do you think the Saints did have a hard time pulling in a coach, though? I know they had, you know, and Aaron Glenn wanted to go to the New York Jets. You had a Joe Brady that declined to have an in-person interview. And then I felt like they honed in on Kellen Moore, and like Mickey alluded to yesterday, he had to wait because the Eagles kept winning.
Yeah, I mean, I think there's a little bit of truth to that. Of they are not the most attractive job in the NFL, right? you could argue they're one of the least attractive jobs in the NFL just because of the market size, the salary cap constraints, and the fact that you're not winning games. But when you're hiring a head coach, it's probably because you weren't winning games. In most cases, you are not hiring a coach because things were going exceedingly well. Sometimes guys retire, sometimes guys step away, which was the case in 2022. But in this case, you lost so many games, you had no choice but to move on from your head coach. So it's never going to be a glowing situation that you're walking into, or at least in most cases, it's not going to be a glowing situation. But what the Saints sold Kellen Moore on, and I think what their sales pitch all along was, is we are patient. We have continuity. We feel like we can build this thing, and you don't have to walk in and be successful, go to the NFC Championship in year one, right? Like Sean Payton did. That'd be great. No one would complain. But when you say that to people, they're going to believe you. And to me, that's the sales pitch. Now, do you want to walk into that scenario as a first-time head coach? Probably not. I said from the beginning I didn't expect Joe Brady to take that job. I don't think the Saints expect Joe Brady to take that job.
Same with Cliff Kingsbury.
For obvious reasons. It's not a great scenario if you gotta build it. You're not gonna walk into a winning team. You gotta build it, and not everyone's gonna wanna take on that challenge, right? Ben Johnson didn't want to do it in Washington. He probably regrets that now based on what happened there, but he walked into a perfect scenario in Chicago, and as a first time head coach, you wanna wait that out. Look at Dennis Allen with the Raiders, right? Do you think he wishes he had waited a few more years and found a better scenario for his first head coaching gig?
Right. I guess Mike McCarthy was another one, too, who said, I'm going to wait till next year's hiring cycle.
I don't think that was the case with Mike. I mean, I think he covered his bases and made it look that way. I don't think the Saints were going to hire him. I think they wanted Kellen Moore. And he figured that out, and he got out in front of it.
I'm much happier with the Kellen Moore choice anyway.
Yeah, I mean, and then at the end of the day, they targeted Kellen Moore. They got Kellen Moore. So clearly, it's as attractive of a job as it takes to get a Super Bowl winning offensive coordinator to leave a dream offense. So, I don't know. At the end of the day, it's not about being the most attractive job. It's not about being the biggest market. It's not about, you know, finding the hottest head coach. It's about finding the right head coach. And we'll see if Kellen Moore is that guy.
We're going to take a break. When we get back, we're going to check in on the Pelicans. We're in the All-Star break now, folks. Pelicans getting a win last night, snapping a 10-game losing skid. Will Guillory, NBA writer for The Athletic, will join us, so stay tuned right here on WWL.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to Shopify.com/Odyssey Podcast to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/Odyssey Podcast.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. and it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you. From daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Welcome back into Sports Talk. Switching gears up to a little NBA action. Happy to welcome in Will Guillory, NBA writer for The Athletic. Will, how the heck have you been doing, man?
I'm doing well, man. I appreciate y'all for having me on.
Thanks a lot. Last night in Smoothie King Center, Pels finally snapping that 10-game skid, getting that victory in overtime. Good to see them get in the win column, but unfortunately, you know, you get another injury with Eves Missy, and now we find out he won't be taking part in the Rising Stars game either. What more do we know about the injury with Eves?
Yeah, they released earlier that they're calling it a hyperextension. They did an MRI, no structural damage. So it sounds like a pretty minor injury. They said they're going to reevaluate him next week when they come back from All-Star break. So I don't think it's anything too major. But, you know, it wouldn't be a Pelicans game unless somebody got hurt, right? Somebody twisted a little ankle or something.
That is par for the course. You know, let's talk about positive things. We spend so much time talking about negative things with Pelicans. I want to talk about positive things. And you know, one thing we were talking about earlier in the show is CJ McCollum, and Steve mentioned I'm a little surprised he wasn't traded. And one thing that I kind of feel like is, you know, CJ, you know, as bad as the season has been, as rough as things have been, CJ just strikes me as a guy who genuinely wants to be here. And, you know, he's putting up all these points, obviously had 40 points again last night. I'm just curious, obviously, you spent a lot of time around CJ. What is kind of your feeling about his kind of impact on this team? And because it would be easy for a guy of his situation, of his age, of his with his ability to impact teams in the playoff hunt to say, hey, get me out of here. I want to go find a team that has a chance to win a ring. But it just doesn't strike me as that guy. I'm curious, what is your take on that?
No, I think you're spot on. I think, you know, CJ has said, and, you know, behind the scenes and in front of the mic a bunch of times how much he loves New Orleans, how much he wants to be a part of the organization. And I think, you know, a big reason why they probably value him more than a lot of people on the outside is because of his commitment, you know, day to day to doing the job, showing up, putting in the extra work, being committed to his role, how to keep improving. I think, you know, he just got a laser focus, and that's why, you know, I've almost got the CJ McCollum speech, you know, in my head down already every time he has a good game, because I know exactly what he's going to see every time. It's just, you know, as long as you put in the work, as long as you stay committed, then the results are going to eventually go your way. And he's, you know, stays convinced of that no matter what, you know, even with the losses, even with the injuries, he stays committed to his work. And I think that's something that the organization really values, having a guy around who sets that example for all the young guys. You know, Trey Murphy talked about that last night, that he's learned so much from CJ through the first couple years of his career, just seeing, you know, a guy committed to the work and doing all the right things behind the scenes, and having that guy, I think, is a big part of, you know, why they've been had success developing a lot of these young guys in New Orleans, because, you know, CJ's been that great vet in the locker room that's showing them what it's supposed to look like.
You know, I'm going to stay along the positive note, like Jeff got into. We'll save the negatives for a little later on. But when you mentioned Trey Murphy, his season really had a bust out year right now. You're seeing a lot of growth in his game. What do you attribute that to? Is it just him growing as a player?
Yeah, for sure. I think, you know, him obviously getting kind of thrown in the deep end of the pool, right, with all of these guys injured. So he's being asked to do more. But I think, you know, he's having a lot of success because he's, you know, he's talked about, you know, his abilities and his you know, potential and having that opportunity to finally show it. And now that he has, he's taken it and run with it. And I think the biggest thing I've noticed this year is just him off the dribble, him playmaking, seeing the entire floor. I think that's the biggest jump because we've seen him have explosive scoring games before, right, where he's hit 10 threes or he's come out and scored like 20 in a quarter. He's done that previously in his career. But now he's, you know, putting the offense on his shoulders, attacking guys in one-on-one situations, end of the shot clock. And I think he's shown a lot of comfort in that, getting to the free throw line. I think, you know, all of those little things in his game to complement, you know, him being an elite shooter, it's, you know, made him, you know, a really dangerous offensive weapon. And you would kind of project forward him next to Zion Williamson. It's just an ideal fit of their ability to both make plays on the dribble. But Trey hits three-pointers. Z is a dominant paint scorer. And I think that's the thing that they want to see the rest of the season is those two guys playing together and seeing what it looks like as them, you know, as the new 1-2 punch in New Orleans.
You know, one guy we're going to get a good look at over the rest of the season, I imagine, is Bruce Brown. He's played in two games. You know, a lot of times you see these trades happen mid-season. You're like, oh, that's a buyout candidate. It's a buyout candidate. Obviously, it doesn't seem like that's going to be the case for Bruce. Do you what are your kind of your expectations for him? And do you think that he's a guy that they might extend coming out of the season?
No, it wouldn't surprise me at all because I think, you know, related to what I said about CJ, that they just want those veteran guys in the locker room who are really committed and helping them develop some of the young talent in the locker room. And obviously Bruce Brown is a guy with some championship experience. That's something they value big time. And where Bruce, you know, we've heard Willie and Griff kind of joke about it at this point, but, you know, what Bruce Brown has done in his career is showing that he could do a little bit of anything on the court, right? He's played just about every role you can think of, and he's kind of excelled because he's got, you know, obviously a versatile skill set, but he's got a willingness to do whatever it takes, and I think that's what they love about him, and they want that to, you know, be around some of their younger guys, and I think it'll be good for a guy like Jordan Hawkins or Jose Alvarado to have a guy there who can, you know, compete for some of those minutes and force them to kind of work to maintain that spot. And, you know, the end of the season now, we're getting to the point where, of course, the Pels got to play their young guys, they got to see them develop, but also those guys got to earn those minutes, like the way we talked about with Trey Murphy. And I think having Bruce Brown, having Kelly Olynyk around is going to force those guys to keep working, kind of eliminate some of those bad habits. And I think that'll be a really good thing for this team to have that around. And I think, like you said, I think they want to see if those guys could be a part of the future. I'm not 100% convinced that Kelly Olynyk and Bruce Brown are going to be here next year. We'll see. But I think, of course, you know, those guys have a lot of the values that this team wants. And I think, you know, they would certainly be open to having them around just because they fit, you know, what this team needs. And obviously, you know, they need all the good, you know, good role players they can get off the bench after some of the talent that's left the building the past couple of years.
What were your thoughts on the Brandon Ingram trade? It seemed like Toronto wasn't a place that I expected him to land. I thought maybe a team with playoff ambitions would come after him. Obviously, they signed him to an extension, and we obviously talked about Kelly Olynyk and Bruce Brown. What were kind of your takeaways from that deal in general?
Yeah, I mean, I was kind of with you with Toronto. I think, you know, them making the commitment to give up the first-round pick to give the Pels the kind of the big expiring contract that they were looking for, that surprised me a little bit just because I think the biggest thing for B.I. was just finding a team that was willing to commit to him long-term. I think that's the main thing he wanted. He wanted to find a place that he can call home, you know, where it was pretty clear that wasn't going to be in New Orleans anymore because of Trey Murphy, because of, you know, them committing to DeJounte Murray last all season. So I think, you know, for B.I., I think, you know, that's a spot that fits his personality, fits, you know, what the long-term commitment he was looking for. But, you know, for Toronto, you know, in particular, having him with R.J. Barrett, with Scotty Barnes, I think that's going to be a real challenge for them to figure that out. You know, is B.I. their best guy? Is he their number two? Is he their number three? I think all of that is still yet to be seen. But I think, you know, for the Pels, they feel pretty good, you know, about where they were because, you know, that was a big concern all the way up to the trade deadline. They were just going to get nothing for B.I. because they just felt like there weren't a whole lot of offers out there. And it really came down to last minute between Toronto and Atlanta. I think both of those teams were kind of waiting and seeing how much they were really have to give up. And I think ultimately Toronto made their move because they just were really in love with B.I. and the idea of keeping him long term. But I think the Pels got a pretty good first round pick out of it from Indiana, 2026, very lightly protected top four. So you feel like you can maybe get something out of that. They can get, maybe even use that as a trade asset. So I think they came out decent, you know, for a guy who was probably going to walk in a couple months anyway. But now the big question is less about, you know, what you got for B.I. and how you can replace him with Trey Murphy and DeJounte Murray whenever he comes back. That's going to be what this team is ultimately judged by, you know, if they can replace what B.I. meant to this team, especially during those stretches when Zion was hurt.
We got another week until we see the Pelicans back in action again after the All-Star break, Will. And do you think we're going to start seeing them ramp up Zion Williamson's play a little more, get involved with back-to-backs? Or are they still going to be extremely cautious with him considering this is a lost season? I was kind of disappointed last night considering they were going into the All-Star break and had all this downtime that they couldn't even give Z a few minutes last night for the home crowd.
Man, I hope so. I'm telling you, I would love to see more of Zion, at least playing 30, 32 minutes. You know, back-to-backs, we'll see. I mean, you know, with a hamstring injury and obviously them not having a whole lot to play for, I wouldn't be shocked if they just say no more back-to-backs. But I think the minutes restriction, I would hope and I expect it to go up post-All-Star break. I think, you know, that's been the one big win for them, you know, after New Year, I should say, is basically that, you know, Zion has looked maybe the best he's looked his entire career, the way he's moving out there, the production he's putting up. The only problem is he's doing it in 20 minutes a game, 28 minutes a game, and they're sticking very strictly to that. And, you know, I think he's shown a little bit of frustration over it, but he's also said, hey, we came to an agreement. We know what the plan is, so we're sticking to it. I think that's the good thing, that they both have an understanding of where it is, where, you know, that didn't really exist in previous years where he was, you know, in the rehab process. But now I think you want to see him increase that load and show he can do it more consistently at a higher level. And I think, it's just that when he does play, man, he just looks very special right now. He's in an incredible place right now with his shape, with his movement. But now, like you said, you want to see him do it with more minutes, possibly back-to-backs, you know, not just every other game he's playing. I think that's what you want to see. And I think that they need to do that before the end of the season so you don't have to worry about this stuff at the start of next year, right?
I think you make a good point, because that's one of the things I was concerned about. He missed all that time. He was going to come back out of shape. He didn't. So you got to give him a lot of credit for that. Even with all the games missed, clearly working on, you know, taking ownership of that fitness part of it. I do want to talk about the other side of the standings for a minute, and I want to get your take here. You know, the All-Star game is weird in the NBA because it's like so late in the year that you come out of it, just a sprint to the finish. You know, most leagues it's halfway through. That is not the case in the NBA. And so, you know, I look at the standings and I don't see that kind of, like last year it was the Celtics and, you know, it kind of felt like it was theirs. They were the favorite and everyone else was trying to find them. For so long it was the Warriors, and before that it was the Lakers. I don't really see a team, you know, kind of head and shoulders above everybody else. I'm just curious, who are your picks to come out of the East and the West if you had to handicap it today?
It's funny you say that, because I think if you look at a lot of the numbers, a lot of the, you know, analytic-based analysis, I think a lot of, you know, folks will say OKC is probably, you know, putting up one of the historically great seasons with the way they've been able to win consistently. Shai Gilgeous-Alexander is probably the favorite to win MVP. They've done it with centers, without centers. Chet Holmgren's been down. Hartenstein's been down. Now both of those guys are back. I think, you know, they've got so many great young pieces, and they've put up such huge numbers all year. I think the big question with them is obviously they haven't done it in the playoffs, right? They've never even been to the conference finals with this group. So now are they going to, you know, go all the way and win it in the end? And then obviously you got Boston on the other side of the bracket. Cleveland's having an amazing year. The Knicks are extremely talented with their top five. I think those are going to be the three teams to worry about in the East. And I think in the West, you know, OKC, I think there are a lot of questions. But, you know, I would be shocked if they don't come out and win the West. I think Shai and Jalen Williams and Chet Holmgren, that's a special trio. And they've got such a bright future. And I would love to see, you know, possibly OKC and Boston in the finals. You know, two young superstars and Tatum and Shai, let them guys go at it. And I would probably pick OKC right now. But you can never discount Boston and their experience, you know, coming back as defending champs.
Yeah, I get the sense that Boston is kind of like coasting. Like, we'll win 55 games. We did the whole, you know, 60-plus wins last year. We don't need to overtax ourselves. We'll get there. The real season is the postseason. Because I watched that game against the Cavs last week, or was it 2 weeks ago? I don't know. And it just seems like when Boston is locked in, they're still that team. The record might not be what it was last year, and especially the home record. You know, they've lost a bunch of games at home. I think they lost like 4 games at home all last season. They're 17-10 at home right now. I just feel like until someone knocks them off, it's hard to look at anybody else.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing with the NBA, right? It's like two different sports, like regular season basketball and postseason basketball. And like once you get to the playoffs and you see the level of intensity it requires, the teams that just aren't used to it, it's really hard to adjust. And with Boston, I mean, they've been to so many conference finals. They got, you know, so much experience with those dudes. And then you throw in Drew Holiday, Kristaps Porzingis, Al Horford has been around forever. Those dudes know what it takes to win, and they know how to turn it up, right? I think a lot of people see what Cleveland's doing, and it's special. But can they raise it up a level when it gets to the playoffs? I think that's the big question. And we know with Boston, they're certainly capable of that, especially with Tatum and Brown. So, I think, you know, they're certainly the favorite in my eyes in the East until somebody proves it wrong. Just because, I mean, they've just done it year after year, every single time.
Well, definitely. Thanks a ton for the time. Appreciate you. And hope you get to at least enjoy a little bit of the downtime of the All-Star break.
Absolutely. I've been looking forward to this time. I will enjoy it. I appreciate you guys.
Will Guillory, NBA writer for The Athletic, joining us there. You can follow him at Will Guillory on X. Taking a break, be back with more sports talk and your calls right after this on WWL. Want to remind all you LSU basketball fans, you can catch the Tigers at Oklahoma tomorrow afternoon. Pre-game's 4:30, tip-off 5 o'clock on 105.3 WWL FM and the free Odyssey app. Checking in on our Oakland Heart Jewelers talk and text line this Valentine's Day. And James, what you got for us on the NFL draft today?
All right, so first and foremost, congrats, Jersey. I'm going to leave that there. Listen, you know what? I think Kellen Moore is going to actually – I think he said he was going to watch the film, right? You know, he's going to watch the film and, you know, see what it is. So here's what I got from the film.
Okay.
All right, so we got Trevor Penning, allowed. Precious, 8.6% of the snaps, and that was basically, what is it? What do I got here? That's 31st of the possible 34 linemen. Okay, I've been begging for Trevor to play guard, and we would love to see him block along with Mekhi Becton. I'm keeping my fingers crossed we got enough money to get him. I would love to see him at the offensive guard position. I think that's his last shot, actually. Here's something else. Offense allowed pressure in 2.5 seconds or less. And what does it say? 26.4% dropbacks. That's 31st.
James, you said this is the film. You're reading me stats. This is not film. This is stats.
Yeah. It's kind of both because I was watching the YouTube and it said what it said, and I also watched something that's called cap spin. You know where? Remember where Jerry Jones said we're gonna do a lot this season, meaning we're gonna spend money. The only team that spent less money than us was the Cowboys. But I digress. Here's something else. We got defense. What I got here? I can barely see it. Defense created pressure in 2.5 seconds or less on 26.4% dropbacks. What do you think that ranks?
You're gonna tell us 31st?
Nah, 26. They're not that bad. But here's the thing. Here's the thing that gets me. I can't even wrap my head around this because we're supposed to be very good at man coverage, right? Well, at least we were when.
We're talking about a team that lost its top two corners midway through the season, so.
So, man coverage. That's, like I said, that's supposed to be our thing here.
Sure.
We have allowed 7.8 per pass attempt. That ranks. What do you think that ranks?
I'm not into this trivia game here. All right, what's the point? Do you have a point? You have a point
so,
to make.
So the point is.
Okay.
The tape says we need massive upgrades.
Yeah, I'm just trying to figure out what the
offensive and defensive line is what it is. But I'm hopeful. I'm very hopeful that Mickey wasn't just talking and he let that kid pick some of his guys because he's an offensive. He loves offense, and I think we need more speed. I mean, when we were at our best down here in 2010 and 11, we had rare speed. And I hear the talk about, like I know Sean wants the guy from Boise. I know the coach, our new head coach, he's from Boise. And I'm pretty sure Sean's going to give us a call and somebody else is going to give us a call for that ninth selection. And we can move down, and I'm hopeful and get more picks. We need a lot of picks. But I want speed at running back. I mean, I think we need two backs. We talking about Alvin Kamara. Kamara's, I would have never paid him, but he's what, 30, 31?
Right.
I'm hopeful that the kid from Ohio State or the guy from Baton Rouge that plays ball with the Volunteers. Those guys have rare speed. And
so you're talking about Junkins and Jeanty? Yeah.
Well, Junkins is not fast. No, not Junkins. He's a power driver type of guy. I'm talking about Henderson, I think, from Ohio State.
Okay.
And I forget the kid from Baton Rouge, but he plays ball at Tennessee. And I know we love those Volunteers down here. So, but yeah, we need.
I just don't think running back's going to be the biggest priority, though, going into the draft.
I disagree. Well, I mean, I don't think you're going running back in the first round.
I don't think second round either.
With James. Yeah, I mean, second round's tough. I mean, yeah, I think you have those two third-round picks, and I think that would be a perfect spot to – yeah, Trevion Henderson is who he's talking about at Ohio State. I agree. I think he's a good candidate for this team. And, you know, I mean, if you're – they did re-sign Clyde Edwards-Helaire. He's going to be part of that room.
You still have hope on Kendra Miller. I know nobody wants to hear it.
I wouldn't say Clyde is a speed guy. So
no.
I don't think he's going to be that answer. But, no, you should keep investing in the running back room. I agree with that. I don't think speed on offense is necessarily – the biggest issue, because you have, you know, Chris Olave, Rashid Shaheed on the outside. I think speed on defense is a bigger issue for this team, especially at the linebacker level. I feel like the Saints have one of the slower footed linebacker.
I want some beef on the offense and defense, and that's both on the lines.
Yeah, you're going to keep building through the lines. I agree. I think you know, if there's a tackle that you really love and you want to find your next right tackle and you figure out what to do with Trevor, great. I think he was serviceable this year. wasn't great, but survived. And you know, he's got one more year on that contract. I don't think you're going to pick up that option. No, you got to keep building. And I think you're going best player available at all with all of these picks, right? I think that's when you're in the position the Saints are, you have to.
But if the best player is Jeanty at number nine, I don't think they go that route.
I think it's going to be a tough sell to go running back at all. in the first round. I am against top 10 running backs in general. I think
for this team right now, yes.
For any team. Because unless you are a playoff team that made a great trade and you're drafting in the top 10,
okay,
like the Eagles, like you know, like there are situations like when the Eagles had the Saints pick, you know, like sure you could sell me on what the Lions did with Jahmyr Gibbs,
sure,
but if you're the Jaguars drafting Leonard Fournette number three, if you're the Falcons drafting Bijan number what eight nine, right? Never Saquon, never. You know why? Because the team they win a Super Bowl with is going to be their next team.
We are taking a break here on Sports Talk. Be right back to close out the 5 o'clock hour right after this on WWL. Going to take a break and head into our top of the hour news. When we get back, we'll be talking with retired sports editor of the Tri-City Herald, Joe Murrow, about his article about Kellen Moore saying he's a football savant long before the Super Bowl victory. Stay tuned for that and more right after this on WWL. Who dat?
Wow. What's up? I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
This President's Day, upgrade the look of your home without breaking your budget. Save up to 50% site-wide on brand new window treatments now at Blinds.com. Blinds.com, the number one online retailer of custom window treatments, is the better way to give your home the presidential treatment. Blinds.com makes it easy with free virtual consultations on your schedule and samples delivered directly to your door, fast and free. Choose from trending woven wood shades or upgrade to motorized. Blinds.com has everything and more, all with upfront pricing and no hidden fees. Need help with installation? Blinds.com can handle it for you. Or DIY with expert guidance from our design pros. With over 25 million windows covered and our 100% satisfaction guarantee, you can count on Blinds.com to deliver results you'll love. Shop Blinds.com's President's Day Mega Sale right now and save up to 50% site-wide, plus a free professional measure. Up to 50% off site-wide at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Can't you see it? The world powered by solar and renewable energy. Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Hey, sports fans, it's Mason Crosby.
And Reese Crosby.
If you enjoy football, football,
be sure to check out Kicking It with the Crosbys. New episodes drop every Tuesday and Thursday.
Subscribe on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.